You're listening to Tarazi Tuesdays with The Bible as Literature.
Hi, this is Father Mark Boulos, and you are listening to Tarazi Tuesdays with The Bible as Literature podcast. Code Pink! Code Pink! People are running around with blinders on. It appears they've been reading English translations of the Septuagint. Half keep referring to something called the Books of the Kingdoms, which do not appear in the Bible. The other half are enamored with some goofy Greek nonsense called philosophical questioning. One of them keeps eating ice cream in a stupor. They insist that the Bible is about building churches, investing in property, planning for the future, defending walls, funding wars, protecting their people, and above all, trying to prove which tribe held the first theropod roast in prehistoric Palestine, which, at that time, was known as, well, nothing, because we probably did not have language yet. Some of these people are doing DNA tests and then photoshopping pictures of themselves holding a Bible while standing at said theropod roast. Ah, the suffering of Job. But Job was a fool. I mean, look. What did his supposed righteousness get him? A house in Tel Aviv? But that's what you want. So you host Lenten retreats about the deep spiritual meaning of Job's suffering and how to be patient like him in anticipation of your colonial theropod roast. Disgusting. And just to be clear, Elihu, Father Paul explains, is no better. The structure of Job, the syntax of the canon, and the placement of Psalms all undermine you. All of them dehistoricize, devalue, and de-center the human being. So please, it does not matter what your DNA test says. If the result of your DNA test comes back human being, that is already way too much information. And may God have mercy upon the theropods. I am delighted to introduce Father Paul on the Bible as Literature podcast, Tarazi Tuesdays.
Before the work of the so-called chronicler in the sequence of the Hebrew, you have Daniel, which means his position is intended. And when you read it, you are stunned how he lives in different centuries, one after the other. And thus, he is the consummation of the entire scripture. He appears as not a prophet, but a maskil, wise. By the way, maskil in Hebrew means a wise teaching, which is the title of Psalm 78. And it means also a person who is wise, without entering into technicalities, but those who know Hebrew understand that. He is a maskil because he lives according to the law, not because he went to the Academy of Plato. And his story parallels the story of Joseph, where the king appeals to him to explain the dreams and so on. But my point is in a different direction. That's why at the end, he says, these shall go into eternal fire, but the wise, the maskilim, shall shine like stars. Yeah, what he meant is the righteous people like the Orthodox on Sunday morning in their nice attire. No, no, you have to hear the original. And this becomes important. You remember how these texts are very hard. Even scholars don't know what to do with them. And wisdom washed her hands from us. What's wisdom? Wisdom is very important. It is found in the Torah, and that's the teaching of the Old Testament, and then in the Gospels and in Paul. Now, with this in mind about wisdom, let's move to Psalm. I'm picking on certain aspects, you know, I cannot go into. But my assessment of the position of the Psalms and Job that is flipped in the Septuagint is important in the sense that the Psalm is the total story. You have the intro, the righteous man is the one that follows the law, and at the end of two, all those who behave like him will be part of the kingdom of God, obviously, but you can use any other word. And then in the Psalm, you have the story. And I said to you at the beginning, you hear very often Melech king in conjunction with the earthly king. Slowly on, it is God as king. The same happens with the two nouns, Jerusalem and Zion. But that's up to you to read. And this is endorsed by many scholars. And then comes the second book of Job, who is someone who never was in Canaan. He was born, grew up, and died outside Canaan. And his reference, as you hear in chapter 1, is the law, but unfortunately, he was beguiled by his colleagues to entertain philosophical discussions with the Nahash, Plato. So that book is making fun of Job, not as he is presented in classical theology. Orthodox say bluntly that he is a prototype of Jesus. Are you kidding me? And people tell me, but at the end he was blessed 7 times. With what? With sheep and cattle, which means you are going back to chapter 1 and rehear his story. Don't tell me you heard that before. Except if you were listening to me in the past. I told you, friend, Ezekiel didn't say, well, I'm coming for good news, ye poor people. And so, no, no, you can't do that. Now you understand why when I told the prophets, I could not be nice to you in the classroom. How could I? I was teaching you what the text is saying, and your assessment at the end, one of the questions, has the teacher been nice to you? Did he allow you stupid questions? You can't do that with the Bible. You have to hear it until the end, and you know it from your rubrics. Would the priest, who even doesn't know the Bible, allow you to stop in the middle of the reading and have the people raising their hand? Could you run this by me? And you know, that's why he says, let's be attentive. You cannot say, let's run by me again. You are no reference. Now, the wisdom of the teaching of God in the Psalms and its story with the people that didn't listen to it goes into someone living outside. And that one of the signs that the original message, you know, my thesis is that the author were talking to the Mesopotamians. Your hope only is in the teaching of God. And the book of Job is extreme because at the end, you know, this young man, that is a nice story for the Americans. When a young man is making fun of the elders that they didn't get it. And his name is Elihu. Very powerful. But he gets slammed on the wrist by the same God. My dear friend, if the elders didn't get it, you think you got it. So it's a magisterial book. But now with the Septuagint, and I think that was intentional, it eliminates. So let me put it this way. Job followed by Psalms, you have the impression that you're hearing 1 Corinthians. First, you slam human philosophy, and then you stress the teaching. But I like better the Hebrew canon. Now, the Septuagint canon, way back, I didn't mention that, but I would like you to be aware, those who are not, that even the titles of the prior prophets, which is so-called historical prophets, is also tweaked in the Septuagint, which you don't have in your Bibles because we got used to say 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. But open the Septuagint, the title of these four books are the four books of the kingdoms. Notice, not kings, kingdoms, historicizing. The first book of the kingdoms is 1 Samuel. The second book of the kingdoms is 2 Samuel. The third book of the kingdoms is 1 Kings. The fourth book of the kingdoms is 2 Kings. And thus, you know, I can't enter into my theory about why did they do the canon in this way. I think it's because of this tendency, since the text is addressed to the Jews that are living in the diaspora, Greek diaspora. And that's the danger when you accommodate that. This is the tension between the Byzantines of Greece and Turkey and the Slavs. What happened? Do you do this? Do you do that? Personally, I'm interested in neither of the two because their tradition is no reference. But in our mentality, it is. And you have this, I don't know if you are aware, there is a major, forgot his name, a French Roman Catholic, that wrote a book and the Orthodox were up in arms. How could you say that, you know? But he said it because he talked about the two main facets of Orthodoxy, Greek Orthodoxy and Slavic or Russian Orthodoxy. We don't like that, but you are in the U.S. Just turn around left and right. You can see it. Just open the website of St. Vladimir's and open the website of Holy Cross. These are facts, friends. And that is something I want you to be aware. Even the Protestant Bibles who stress that the translation of the Old Testament is from the original, as you know, look at the way the book are entered in their Bibles. I mean, I have my What do you call it? RSV. Open the RSV. This is how you have the sequence. And I'm inviting you to take very seriously, but it takes time and sweat and blood to submit to the fact that the canon is intended and the structure of each book is intended and their sequence is also intended.
The Bible as Literature is a production of the Ephesus School Network.